in different ways. What happened at the University of Minnesota and beyond. Carson Bach is an attorney that's both been a trial lawyer in court and negotiated contracts for coaches at the University of Minnesota and beyond. He joins us now. Carson, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Mike.
Good to visit with you, sir.
Good to hear from you. Good to talk with you again.
Take me through. So you fire Patino, but you know he's going to get this job in New Mexico. I guess you can read the contract publicly. I probably wouldn't be able to understand it. But what happens there? How do you make sure that you lessen the buyout since you know he's going to get a job and you kind of help facilitate that?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Mike. The interesting part to me, and we've talked about this, is what forced A.D. Coyle to announce where he was going and basically let everybody know that Coach Patino was going to be terminated, and then a period of time passed before Coach Patino's announcement that he's been hired. I think you and I both know that probably Coach Patino knew it before A.D. Coyle said something, and I think he had already had negotiations through his representatives down in New Mexico. I just don't know when the ink was dry on the deal. So,
But would Coyle come to him and then say, hey, look, I'll grant you that, but you're our coach right now. So do you negotiate that with his agent at that point and say, if you want out of the contract to take this, then you're going to have to give us that, or is it all written in?
So A.D. Coyle and Coach Patino had already had a conversation. They knew where it was going. You can bet there was the opportunity for representatives of Coach Patino to speak with New Mexico. And so the interesting part and what I'm getting at is the termination and the possible invocation of the buyout happens before you have an announcement that New Mexico has a deal with Coach Patino.
Yeah.
And that's got to scare some people, because that's got to mean the university might have to pay a large chunk of money, right?
Right, and that's why you have to have something in play that you've negotiated.
Correct. And the other part of that is, and then you and I have talked about this, the other part of it is, well, A.D. Coyle doesn't go down this road until he's already talked to a few other people elsewhere.
Yes.
What's his plan moving forward?
Well, my personal opinion is it's a short list, but that short list now has to get larger for optics, and that's what I believe.
You're absolutely right, but there's a lot of things going on here, Mike. You know, at the university, they haven't contended for a Big Ten title or won a Big Ten title, I think, since 1982.
Now, technically 97, they won it. It just got stripped from them, yeah.
Correct.
But either way, that's not a lot of winning.
No, and so do they continue with the same merry-go-round, or do they realize that they might have to change the culture, the whole program? So who is A.D. Coyle speaking to? What spin is the University of Minnesota trying to put on this? Yes, it's great that Coach Patino doesn't have to have the buyout paid, but they still need to put people in the seats. And to put people in the seats, they need to put a product on that's going to get into the tournament. They need to be in the top eight in the conference.
Yep.
And that
is not a lofty goal either. That should not be seen as something that's, I mean, my God, you're only talking about you didn't even have to be in the top half.
Absolutely. And didn't it look like in the beginning of the Big Ten season that indeed Coach Patino was going to, you know, do that, to hold your games at home? They did well on the road in the first half a number of the times and then just got blown out. So you're correct. It's not that difficult. But let me throw this around in a different way. If you look at the 14 teams in the Big Ten, what is the University of Minnesota head basketball coach position really? What is it right now? Is it in the top? Is it in the top 10? Is it number 11? Is it number 12?
It depends on if it's the right person, it's in the top five. If it's the wrong person, it's in the bottom five. You know what I'm saying? If you can't connect to Minnesota, it's in the bottom five. If you can, you just wrote your ticket.
And so there again, like you and I have discussed before, does A.D. Coyle have a plan here? Or did the fact that he let Patino go and he doesn't have a deal with someone else in place create leverage for the person that's going to get the opportunity? And let's just say that person is the right optic. Did he just cost the University of Minnesota? Did A.D. Coyle cost the University of Minnesota another $750,000 or $1 million a year because he gave all the power to that prospective head coach? Wow.
Or does he have that deal in place and that's all semantics at this point?
Well, if that deal's in place, I'm surprised they're not announcing it. How about you?
Except that it could be somebody that's in the tournament, and then the other part of it would be the other reason that I think that way, and I'm not saying I got facts, is because they're not using a search firm at all, and that tells me they already know who they want.
They're not using.
So don't bother with the search firm.
No, they're not using the search firm because they don't have the money to use the search firm. But the carousel and the people that they talk to are the same groups of people that AD Coyle's got a history with. So, I mean, I don't think they've got money problems at the university, right? The athletic department's got to bring in more money than they're paying out. So that 1.7, they didn't have to pay Coach Pitino. Let everybody at Minnesota thank New Mexico.
Yeah, boy, they got lucky, didn't they, on that one?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They didn't have the same deal, but, you know, it's funny because Dan Munson got a job with Long Beach State shortly after he was fired, and Tubby Smith got one at Texas Tech shortly after, but they did pay the buyouts on them because they didn't have that deal in place, so it was a different time, a different place.
And I think, honestly, that has to do with what we talked about a little while ago. I do think AD Coyle and Coach Pitino were talking about it. I think the writing has been on the wall. I know with people that I've been talking to.
Yeah, you couldn't miss it, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's sad, but it happened.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't feel sorry for Richard. He made $16 million here in 8 years, and now he's got another job, so that ain't bad.
No.
He's a pretty young guy to get that, and there's a lot of reasons why he got it, that maybe he got to fast-track it, and I have nothing against Richard Pitino. I enjoyed my time with him, but I'm just saying those are the facts, too. Those are the indisputable facts. Now, I want to take you inside a courtroom. As I watch this thing unfold, and all of us are kind of fascinated by it, you've been in jury trials. You've had to help select a jury, or at least, you know, who do I want, who do I not want? What are you seeing as this Chauvin trial unfolds, and what's it like to be an attorney in there? Are you using, you know, we can't see the jurors, the potential jurors they're talking to, but are you watching a lot of their facial expressions, their body language, or is it more about what they say?
Oh, boy. By the time you get to what people are actually viewing, even when they're watching the attorneys, what's called voir dire, the jurors question the jurors. By that time, they've read all the questionnaires of these potential jurors, and they know what they want to kind of ask about. They want to ask the jurors question to elicit information about how do they view the world? Where do they come from? I mean, it's one thing to read somebody's, you know, history and they fill out a questionnaire. It's another one to have the opportunity to ask them questions. The real fascinating thing that I think, and it's come up today, and boy, I do not envy Judge Cahill, how do you account for what the city of Minneapolis dropped on the middle of this jury selection? Mm-hmm. Announcing a $27 million settlement? Oh, boy.
How do you? How do you come to terms with that? When they say change of venue, tell me, if you're an attorney and you say you're going to Rochester or St. Cloud, is it that much different?
Well, we know the demographics of those places are different than they are here, which is a major issue.
Which changes the jury pool, you mean?
That is absolutely correct. The jury pool for any particular county is the county residents.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. But, well, how do you? That's a great question. Right now, the defense has brought a motion saying, Your Honor, this publicity has tainted the jury pool. They didn't select any new jurors today. Mm-hmm. And the judge, if you listen to the judge today, the judge looks back and asks, I've got to go back and question the people we've already, placed on the jury pool. So I don't envy Judge Cahill on this because this is a tough call.
Now, they also introduced evidence of, the defense of a tape of George Floyd showing some similar characteristics, but it's from a year before.
Correct. A prior arrest.
And yeah. So what are the chances that gets admitted, and what is the significance of it? How much does it help the defense?
Well, it's huge. But let me take you back. There's already been a prior ruling about that, but now we're starting to hear about new evidence associated with other arrests. And that behavior then gets into, as the prosecution is arguing against this, that gets into some drug usage and some addiction issues.
Yep.
And so the prosecution is arguing, well, the defense is just trying to smear the victim. But the public yet hasn't heard anything about the forensics and the forensic reports and what the experts of the defense are going to put on in the defense concerning what was in Mr. Floyd's system at the time he died. So these are, again, super huge issues that the judge is going to have to rule on. Clearly, he's going to have to settle the jury question first. But with that settlement announced and with jury members that have already been placed on saying, hey, yeah, I did hear about this, that impacts me, I think we might be looking at a delay, pushing back time, which would give the court then more time to address these issues that you're talking about, the prior incident. Follow me?
Well, pretty soon they're going to be running up against what's supposed to be set for the trial for the other three.
Well, exactly. Plus, look at all the money that the state is spending for security in the downtown Minneapolis.
I'll tell you what, between coaches and security, and there must be a ton of money out there that I'm not aware of. And $1.9 trillion, it seems to be floating around everywhere except towards me. You know what I'm saying, Carson?
I feel you, Mike. I feel you. I know exactly what you're saying.
Hey, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for giving us some time and clarity on it.
You take care, Mike.
You bet. Carson Back. Nice stuff to join us.